The following audio is from Living Axe Church in Tyler, Texas. For more information about the church, you can visit our website, www.livingaxechurch.com, or you can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Living Axe Church.
Well, good morning. It's good to be here. And last night, I know several of you were in the midst of tornado sirens. I was at a graduation where they suspended the graduation and we all kind of went underneath things, and I thought, we're all going to die anyway if we're here, so I don't know why we're going there. So, but anyway, we didn't die. That's why I'm here. And there were no tornadoes, so I don't know if any touched down. I probably shouldn't joke about that, but today. But just thankful. It's interesting to hear just the power of the Lord, isn't it? When you hear that thunder, it always reminds me of a powerful God that we serve. And so, but we're thankful that I haven't heard of any injuries and such from that. Well, this morning, we are continuing on with our study in Hebrews, and we begin with chapter 11, and we're calling this, again, a summer of faith. And if there's one thing that all of us need to live the Christian life, it's faith. I mean, let's face it, that's the one thing we need. We need faith. We see clearly in Scripture that the just, it says, shall live by faith. That is, the righteous, those who are in a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ, must live by faith. Now, if we had such a thing as a faith meter, you know, maybe we should make one of those, I don't know, where we could register on a scale of 1 to 10, the question would be, well, how's your faith? And where would you be on that scale of 1 to 10? Do we daily live by faith? Or do we live anxious lives, often worrying about how we're going to make it through the day? Now, I want to clarify, first of all, right away before I ask some more questions about anxiousness, and that there's a difference between being concerned and anxious. We all get this. We often should be concerned about things, but there's a difference when we're talking about anxiety and being anxious. In Philippians chapter 4, it talks about being anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. And the picture of that word has the picture of somebody just pulling on your arm this way and somebody pulling on your arm this way, and you're just pulled in two different directions, and that's anxiety. You don't know what to do. The world's over here, and it's got its answers, and God's got his answers, and it's just pulling you. And that's the kind of anxiety that I'm talking about. I'm not just talking about being concerned about something. But so the question is, are we anxious like that about our work, wondering whether we're even capable sometimes of even doing the work that we have in front of us? Or are we anxious about future decisions that we need to make, whatever they may be? Oftentimes, we have a whole lot of decisions we have to make in the future, and we become very anxious about such things. Are we anxious about those that we care about and that we love deeply? In other words, am I taking care of those that I love well enough? Am I a good dad? Am I a good mom, a grandparent, a good aunt or uncle? Or some of you, you're getting to the point where you're going to start becoming anxious about your age. I mean, how do you feel as you're getting older? Now you might think this is just kind of a middle-age crisis thing, but the reality is, I don't know if you know this, men, maybe this is what's going on in your life, but you're going to have a couple of age crises. So the psychologists tell us, you know, around 28 to 30-ish, you have one, and then you have another one in your 40s sometime, and this is where you buy the sports cars, I guess, or something like that. But I never could afford one, so I didn't buy one. So, but all that to say, we're sometimes anxious about life, about our age and what's going on. And then finally that anxiety comes about dying. That's always a fun one. I mean, what's it going to be like to die? That's where I am right now, by the way. I'm anxious about dying. I've never died before. And again, I say many, many times preaching, but dying in terms of I just never died before. So I don't know what that's like. So there's a certain bit of anxiety there about what is that like exactly. I'm not really anxious about where I'm going to spend eternity, honestly. I trust Christ alone for my salvation, so I'm good there. But the idea of dying is just like, what's that all about? You know, how does that all work? So I could go on and try and figure out all these things about how we can be anxious or how we have different questions about our anxious lives. But the question remains, do we daily live by faith? And that's what really what we really want to talk about or even accomplish this summer. Remember, I proclaimed summer starting this Sunday, so it is last week. But what we're going to do is we're going to learn from God's word and specifically from this great faith chapter in Hebrews 11, what faith is all about and how it relates to many areas of our lives. And when we begin living by faith in the one who loves us and who died for us, our anxieties, our worries, they tend to go away. At least they tend to dissipate a little bit. And so we proclaim right up here. Is it up there yet? There we go. We're going to say this together right now because this is what we're going to proclaim about as we begin this idea and study of faith. So let's say this together with me, will you please? But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. So that's what we want to do. We want to have faith and we want to preserve our souls. And by the way, that sounded very good, having the whole church. We need to do that. What's that stuff called? You know, that reading that I used to do when I was growing up? Yeah, close enough. Anyway, you know, where the leader reads and then everybody reads. Responsive reading. Thank you. Used to be in the back of hymnals. We used to do this a lot. I love doing that, actually. We need to start doing that here. We will. All right. So this is my prayer for our church is that we're not going to shrink back and we're going to have faith and preserve our souls. So in the first message, in this first message of our Summer of Faith, we're going to answer this simple question about what is faith. And so we're going to look in these first three verses of chapter 11 and we're going to see more of a description of faith rather than a definition. Now, it's also true that I want you to understand that this isn't going to be a full description or definition of faith. The scriptures as a whole give us a fuller understanding of faith than these three verses do. But what these verses do for us is they give us a view of faith, of what faith does, and then how it actually works. So this week is simply an introduction to faith, and in subsequent weeks, we're going to see that faith is illustrated in the lives of great saints of the scriptures. So here again, I would encourage you to read Hebrews chapter 11 minimally one time a week as we go through these 13 weeks of Hebrews chapter 11. And then go back to the Old Testament too, because each one of these stories, there's an Old Testament stories that goes with it. And reread those stories too, along with Hebrews chapter 11. So we're going to learn how not to shrink back and how to have faith and preserve our souls by looking at all of these great men and women and how they lived by faith. Now, let me say something before I move on and we actually look at the passage this morning. I'm not going to be able to tell you everything exhaustively about faith. There is so much in Scripture. As you study faith, it's a huge subject. And sometimes it's like, I don't really understand sometimes how we grow in faith or what that's all about. Sometimes. And so it's a huge subject, but we are going to be able to look a little bit and hopefully get kind of an understanding of faith that's going to help us grow in strength in Christ and hope in Christ this summer. So that this is the way it will be. Your daily life is going to be less anxious and more hopeful in my prayers than ever before for one great reason. And that ultimately is because Jesus and his good news, that is, the gospel is going to be the hope of your soul. And that way you will preserve your soul. So let's begin this morning by looking at verses 1 through 3. And I want you to notice, first of all, the description of faith in verse 1. But before we actually get to that description, I want to talk a little bit about what faith is not. Okay, because faith is really misunderstood. If you watch TV and you watch some of these guys on TV, they got some really crazy ideas about faith. So let me tell you a little bit what faith is not. First of all, it is not blind faith. Okay, so let me illustrate that. If I'm 33 stories up on a building and I just jump off the building, faith is not saying, Lord Jesus, you're going to save me. No, you're going to die. Okay, and you're just going to splat. That's what's going to happen. That's blind faith. That is not biblical faith. And then secondly, there's this idea of faith in faith. So let me illustrate this to you. My kids, I have three kids. They're all old, in their early 50s and 60s, but they're old. But I remember Benjamin, my middle son, even when he was about this big, he was playing baseball, and he was in an all-star game. And there was this parent who was sitting there, and he was up to bat, and she kept saying, "Just believe, Ben, just believe." First of all, his name was Benjamin. It wasn't Ben, but "just believe, Ben," over and over again. And it about drove me crazy. I almost took her out, but I did not think I should. And what she was trying to do was she's trying to say that if you just have faith in faith, if you just believe, you're going to be able to hit that baseball. Well, it takes more than that, trust me, to hit a baseball. But that's a second kind of false idea about faith. It's just faith and faith. And then a third false idea is just optimism or positive thinking. In athletics, a lot of times they'll tell you, just visualize it. Just visualize that shot going through the hoop. Well, let me tell you, it takes more than that too, all right, than just visualizing it going through the hoop. But a lot of times this is what people think faith is. If you just visualize it, it's going to come true. It's almost like what we see on TV a lot is this name it, claim it. If I just name it, it will actually come to pass. And that's not true faith either. And then the fourth thing that I'd say it's not is it's not a feeling. If we based our faith on feelings, we're going to be in big, big trouble. Because you can eat some bad food the day before and have an awful feeling. And so your whole day can be wiped out by the little things. And if your faith is going to be based upon just how you feel, you're going to be in big trouble. So those are things that faith is not. And there's probably more, but I think those are the four big ones. But I want you to notice now, getting back to why we're here, looking at the Word of God, notice first of all what it is. Now look at verse 1 again of chapter 11. "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." So we see first here that whatever faith is, it deals first of all with future things. Faith is, it says here in verse 1, it's hoped for, it's not seen. Those are words of the future. What we understand is that completion of faith is not always something that happens in the here and now. It seems to be something to be grasped upon for the future. Now, at some point, faith will be made sight. We know that will be true. When Christ returns, guess what? Faith will be made sight. But now we live, as Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:7, is that we walk by faith and not by sight. And as we walk through chapter 11 in these few weeks, you're going to notice over and over that faith has a future look to it. I mean, think about just quickly Noah, and he's mentioned later on in this chapter. He was warned of an impending flood and rain, but the problem was rain wasn't something he ever experienced. So how was he going to know what it even was? But he had to live by faith, future faith, and build that ark. So be encouraged that as we learn to live by faith, it will not always mean that faith will be made present. In other words, it will come to pass. We're living now in an invisible future reality. That's really what this is all about. It's an invisible future reality. And that's the essence of this future faith, is living in an invisible reality. It's real. And I want you to understand that it's real, but it isn't necessarily here yet, nor can we see it in a physical sense. So that's the first thing. It has to do with future things. But secondly, we see faith is assurance. The passage clearly says that faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Now, if you have a different version of the Bible, this word's been translated in so many different ways. But the idea here is one of a foundational support. It's a confidence that God gives that what we hope for will come to pass. That's what he means by assurance. It's a settled confidence that ESV Study Bible tells us that something in the future promised by God will actually come to pass because God will bring it about. And so when we have faith, this is God's way of giving us assurance that our hope is real, even if it's not present. And by the way, faith is a gift, and we'll talk about that later. But thirdly, we see that faith is conviction. It says it's the conviction of things not seen. So the idea of conviction here, it expands on the idea of assurance. Well, why? Well, because this is a conviction that's inward here, that comes from God, that what he promised, he will actually perform. It's a reality that we cannot see at the moment, but it implies that these are, in fact, realities. It's a certainty that we cannot see at the moment. But it also, it infers or it implies a response, in our response, really, something that is shown outwardly because of the inward assurance spoken to us in the first part of this verse. So, briefly, to describe what is faith, we see, first of all, it's, again, future-oriented. It has to do with assurance. It has to do with conviction. Now, again, we're going to see those three things just played out over and over again in chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews here. But I want you to notice, secondly, that faith brings God's approval. Look at verse 2. It says that, for by it, that is faith, the people of old received their commendation. The people of old are those mentioned in chapter 11. It says that they received their commendation. In other words, their approval from God. It says this idea of approval is that they were well testified about, as the word means. They had a good witness. In other words, they were spoken well of. In a sense, it really has the idea that God applauded them for their faith. So when we say that faith brings God's approval, it's as if God is just standing up and he's clapping when we obey him by faith. Now, the important thing to understand here, though, is that it's God who is commending them. It's God who is giving them approval here and will give us approval. Because understand something. The world will not commend or bring approval to your faith. In fact, they're going to think you're crazy. Just to be blunt, the faith that you show, the faith that you live by, the world's going to think that you're absolutely nuts. I mean, think about this from the world's perspective. You believe that God became man and then he lived this perfect life. And you believe that by the death of one man, all of your sins are forgiven. And you believe that man was, this man died and that he was actually raised from the dead. I mean, dead men are dead, right? Dead can't come back to life. That's just foolishness from the world's perspective. And so this all sounds so foolish. I mean, think about it. How can a man walk on water, right? How does that happen? How can a man heal the sick? How can you trust your life to someone you cannot see? You see all those things from a world perspective. The world's going to think you're crazy to believe such things. But I love these two words, and they're throughout Scripture, but God. Those words are everywhere. You start seeing them everywhere. But God. He sees our faith, our trust in Jesus Christ, our hope in the future that we will be living with him in eternity, and that we're able to have, even right now, an abundant life on this earth despite the sin and degradation of the world. He sees us raising children and the fear and the admonition of the Lord. He sees us trust him by faith in the raising of these children when at times it seems like they're not getting it about Jesus or that they never will be a true follower of Jesus. If you've ever been a parent and you have kids and you're trying to raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord, you know as well as I do there are times where you go, this ain't happening. My kid will never be a Christian. He'll never follow Jesus. That's how you feel sometimes. But God, he sees that faith, and he says that he commends our faith, and we receive approval from God Almighty. You see, it's different from our perspective, and we're going to see this later, but think again how silly Noah seemed to be to those around him, including his relatives. You remember, he's building a boat again where there's no water. I mean, how silly was that to the people around him? Or you think about Moses, for instance. He's mentioned later on too in Hebrews 11, who by faith, it says that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. I mean, wasn't he crazy? He could have lived in luxury, but he chose to be part of an organization that made bricks. And then later on, they made bricks even without straw. And so, you see, the whole point here is that we are approved by God by our faith, but again, the world is going to see us so much differently. But I want you to notice just quickly two ways that faith does bring God's approval in our lives. One is in salvation. We gain approval, God's approval, by putting our trust, our faith in Christ alone for our salvation. And as we've looked throughout the book of Hebrews, as we study throughout the book of Hebrews, it was Christ's work on the cross, his sacrifice for our sin, as the only basis for salvation, for the forgiveness of sin. And we've seen this over and over again, that good works couldn't take away sins. We saw that the blood of bulls and goats could never pay for our sins. And we know that's why we learned that the Old Testament sacrificial system did not end for the Jewish people, that the priests couldn't even sit down, and they had no chairs there because they had to continually give sacrifice over and over again, but it only temporarily covered the sins of the people. But by faith in the finished work of Christ, we see we gain God's approval, his righteousness. But secondly, faith brings God's approval, as we're going to continue to see in Hebrews 11, in everyday life. You see, because faith is, as we mentioned already, it's the assurance of things hoped for, and it's the conviction of things not seen, we desire to live by faith for God's approval and commendation. So, therefore, we're active in our faith. We trust the promises of God because of faith's certitude. Our faith is certain. So your desire is actively to live by that faith. And so in everyday life we see it, and in salvation we see how God commends us or approves our faith. But let me look again at verse 3 now, and notice this third thing, that faith brings understanding. I love this verse. It says this: by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. You see, faith here is the means to understand everything that is what the writer is telling us. From the very beginning, he's telling us it's necessary to believe by faith that God is the creator of the universe. In other words, he is the creator, and we are the creation. And if you get that right, that simple idea, creator, creation, everything else really falls into place. Understanding that God created the world out of nothing, or as we say, ex nihilo, the Latin phrase is, and believing that to be true is the foundation of true faith. So by faith, it says that we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen, in other words, this material world that we see, was not made out of things that are visible, that is, matter. Psalm 33 tells us, again, it tells us that God actually spoke the world into existence. It was by his words. There was nothing, and he created everything. And unfortunately, in our day and age today, almost every organization that you deal with from wherever will tell you the very opposite. They will tell you that there was this matter, and this matters around, all of a sudden this big bang happened, and boom, everything was created. But the reality is that what Scripture teaches us is that things were created out of nothing. There wasn't matter first. In fact, whenever I talk to people about evolution, I don't spend a whole lot of time about all the fossils and things like that. I always go right back to the foundation with them. And I simply ask them, well, where does matter come from? Because they believe that matter always was and always will be. And guess what I believe? That God always was and always will be. And so for them, matter is God. And I simply ask them the question, where did matter come from? And they go, that's what they say. They don't know. It just always was. And so I say, well, you believe that by faith, correct? That matter always was there. And they have to admit ultimately, because they don't know where it comes from, that they too believe it was by faith. And so I tell them very clearly that your evolution is just another religion. It's a type of religion. Because we too believe that God always was and always will be, and our foundation is there. But again, matter wasn't present, as the evolutionists tell us, and boom, it came all to be. God created that matter, and what was seen, in other words, this earth, was not made out of things that are visible, that is the matter. Now, I want you to understand that as we continue to explore faith in the coming weeks, that we have to see one thing that's very, very important dealing with this that we see in this passage in verse 3, and that is the importance of God's word. As we will see, all these great men and women of faith, all of them had faith not based, as we mentioned in the beginning, on blind faith or faith in faith or optimism or positive feelings of some sort, but faith was based upon the promises of God. In other words, the very word of God. Our text says in verse 3 that the universe was created by the word of God. And biblical faith is always based upon, biblical faith is always based upon confident obedience to God's word. You see, what we believe is what we call, it's a reasonable faith. It's not a blind faith. It's a faith that's based upon the truth of God's word. Romans 10 tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, in the continuing illustrations of chapter 11, you're going to notice four things over and over again in every one of these illustrations. And here's what it's going to be. First thing is you're going to notice is that God is going to speak to people through the word, through his word. They're going to talk to him and speak through his word. And then the second thing that's going to happen is that their inner man is going to be stirred in some way. And then you're going to see that in this chapter that they obeyed God. And then the fourth thing you're going to see is that he approved their faith. And those four things are going to happen over and over again through everybody that we look at. And so the point being is this. The necessity of God's word is foundational to true faith. Therefore, we, you and I, we have to constantly be in the word to grow in faith. Without the word of God, we're not going to grow, for it's the foundation of a reasonable faith, a true faith. So let me encourage you again today. We talk about this all the time, but I want to encourage you, please get in the word of God. Please read the word of God. Because the way you're going to grow in your faith, the way you're going to get rid of that anxiety of your life, grow in faith is going to be starting by reading, studying, meditating upon the very word of God. So that's the key to it all, ultimately. Now, I want to finish today with an illustration concerning the description or the definition of faith that brings some of the thoughts that I just talked about together. So I want to describe biblical faith to you this morning. So let's pretend, okay, it's pretend time. Everybody loves pretend time. But I'm five stories up in a building. And I'm in an apartment. And that apartment is on fire. What's going to happen to me if I do nothing? Well, I'm going to burn up. I'm going to perish. I'm going to burn my buns. I'm just going to perish, right? And that's it. But what if I jump out the window? Well, if I jump out the window, again, we go back to Splat City. I'm just going to perish. You know, I'm just going to hit the ground and I'm going to die. So how do I get out of that apartment with a reasonable faith, a reasonable biblical faith? Well, three things are necessary for this. The first thing is I have to have knowledge that something can actually save me. So alas, I look out the window and what do I notice? Those brave firemen out there, they got one of those little round things, you know, those little trampoline type things. And so there is a knowledge now that I have, that thing can save me. I know that thing can save me, and I believe I have the knowledge that that thing can save me. Now, is my faith made complete yet? Well, obviously not. But then the second thing I have to believe is I have to believe that little round thing will actually be able to hold me and believe that the firemen aren't going to go like that at the last minute. Okay? Dave, you wouldn't do that, would you? Okay. Now, I was thinking about him or Tracy. I don't know. So there they are. And so I have to assent to the fact, to the knowledge that that thing can actually save me. So you can see this faith that I'm about to exhibit is very reasonable. It's based upon a foundation of knowledge and that that thing has the ability to actually save me. Well, again, if I just stay there, boy, that thing can save me. That's a beautiful trampoline thing. And, oh, I know that thing can save me. And I just sit there and still get burned up. I have not exhibited much faith or I've just exhibited a lot of stupidity. Now, so my final thing, of course, is what do I need to do? I need to jump out the window, okay? That's what we call offense, or that's trust. I have to trust enough to jump out that window. But I want you to notice something about that faith. Even as I jump out that window, that faith isn't made complete. It really is the assurance of things hoped for. But it's the conviction of things not seen. Because when I'm in the air, at that point, I have exhibited faith. But guess what? It's not made complete yet. It's not going to be made complete until what happens? When I hit that trampoline. So when I hit that trampoline, I'm safe. But I want you to understand that we live in that time of what faith is. It's jumping out that window, and we're in the midair right now. Now, that's not negative. That's positive, because remember, we have just trusted God in His Word. That's the point. We have known the Word of God, we've believed it to be true, and we have acted upon the Word. And by doing so, then, we understand that God is going to complete what He says He's going to do. But it is a sure faith. It's a true faith by which we can be assured by our God. Now, if you think about this, Jesus followed this very same pattern in His life. I don't know if you know this or not. I'm sure you do. But Jesus had to live by faith too. Did you know that? He had to live by faith just like we had to live by faith. And what do we know about Him? Well, in John chapter 8 and verse 55, it says that He knew God. He knew God the Father. He knew God the Father well, it says. And then in Hebrews 10:9, it says that He had to assent to God's will for Him on this earth. In other words, He had to trust what He knew, that knowledge about God. And we know over and over again, Jesus would say, I came to do the will of my Father. And then we know, of course, where He trusted God the Father to reward Him based upon the promises that were made to Him. In Isaiah 53, in verses 11 and 12, it tells us very clearly that God's trust was rewarded by the fact of He completed what God wanted Him to do, and that was to die in our place and to have our sins forgiven. And God was satisfied in that. So I don't know where you stand on that faith meter I talked about today, but my prayer is that we're going to begin inching towards 10. And my prayer is that this study of God's Word will encourage you to trust Him in all areas of your life, whether it's your family or your finances or your marriage or your job, and that by faith, you'll be satisfied with all that God is and promises to be for us in Jesus, because that's what it's all about ultimately. Now, I hope that, again, that was kind of a brief kind of description, introduction to faith today, and we're going to develop this as we go through it. But my prayer is that the one thing that happens this morning is that your desire is to grow in faith. I mean, there is nothing more spectacular to be able to trust God in every area of your life. Talk to great saints, old saints, and just ask them how God has been faithful to them throughout their lives. That's why you need to talk to old people, okay? Because you need to hear their stories about how God has been faithful to them, because they've learned what it means to trust God by faith. So let me pray this morning. Father, thank You for Your Word. God, I love this Word of Yours. It's clear, it's easy, and it challenges us. And my prayer this morning again is, God, that we would begin living by faith. Lord, we as a church, we need to grow in faith. You know that. We need to grow in faith in our families, in life, in every single way. So God, teach us how to do that by trusting Your Word. And God, we praise the Lord Jesus Christ. We see how He lived a life of perfect faith for us. And we thank You that He gives us this gift of faith through Christ. And we pray these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information on Living Acts Church, please visit our website, www.livingactschurch.com, or you can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/livingactschurch.